Hosea chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Listen to the word of the Lord, O sons of Israel, for the Lord has a case against the inhabitants of the land, because there is no faithfulness or kindness or knowledge of God in the land. There is swearing, deception, murder, stealing, and adultery. They employ violence so that bloodshed follows bloodshed. Therefore, the land mourns, and everyone who lives in it languishes, along with the beasts of the field and the birds of the sky, and also the fish of the sea disappear. Amen. So here in Hosea, we continue with God's rebuke, God's case, as we'll study his case against Israel. So we've studied mostly in the previous chapters of Israel's harlotry, their sin that they have and how they have turned away from God and have made themselves harlots and adulteresses, spiritually speaking, with the idols that they have created themselves. So now God is going to build this case against the inhabitants of Israel, the people of Israel, and explain to them that the judgment that he has promised, the judgment that he has explained is going to happen if they continue in their sins, is not because of some sort of whim of God, but it is actually because of their own sin, because of their own actions. This is why the calamity is being brought upon them. So Hosea 4:1. Listen to the word of the Lord, O sons of Israel. So first, the admonishment, the message is again to remind ourselves that this is the word of the Lord. It's not merely Hosea, it's not merely words of men, but it is in fact the word of the Lord, and to listen to it. Let us never be ones to look at the word of God or anything from the Bible as anything less than the word of the Lord. If we look at the word of the Lord truly being from God, then we will not be quick to turn away from it. We will listen to it. We will look very carefully at it and take it very seriously if we truly believe that this is what God has said. So let's listen to what Hosea writes. For the Lord has a case against the inhabitants of the land. The Lord has a case. The Lord, there's a judicial nature to God. And this is what is being presented here. There's a case. A case, a criminal court would have a case. So he is the judge. God is the judge, and there is evidence. So a case is built on evidence, right? Those in the authority, those who are in the judgment seat, examine the evidence and then pronounce judgments. And the case against the inhabitants of the land. God is judge. Christ is the judge. There's no doubt about that. We, for some cross references, we'll first turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And this is throughout all of the scripture to be reminded that there is a judgment day because Christ is the judge. Those two things go hand in hand, and to not lose sight of that fact. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Ecclesiastes 12, 13. The conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. So when at the end of this book of wisdom, the final wisdom that is given to us is to fear God and keep his commandments. That, again, this is the word of the Lord. If we truly believe that this is the word of God, we will keep his commandments and we will fear God. And then that this, at the end, God will bring every act to judgment. Every act. And there is nothing hidden. it says right here, in case you think that you can hide something from God, it exposes that to you and explains it to you that there is nothing hidden from God. He is truly an almighty God. And that God will bring every act to judgment. So again, Christ is the judge of everything, of every act. We'll further read about this in Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, verses 5 to 8. Romans 2, 5. But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each person according to his deeds. To those who, by perseverance in doing good, seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath, and indignation. Again, this is the New Testament. This is the coming judgment of Christ. And he's explaining, again, that God is the righteous judgment. That's the righteous judge. That's in verse 5. And what is God going to judge based on? He's not going to judge based on anything other than the facts, the truth, because he is true, he is God. And he's going to examine our deeds. Our deeds are what will be brought before God. What are we doing? How are we doing it? What is our heart? What is our mind? And that this is the expectation. Those who, by perseverance, the grace of God, and honor and immortality, the eternal life, that is the judgment for one. And then wrath and indignation at the end of verse 8, that is the judgment for the others. Two groups, a final judgment. Here is Christ. And further, we'll read in Revelation chapter 20, another example. Obviously, Revelation, the end times. This is what we should expect at the end of this world, the end of the earth, that the judgment, the throne of God, is set before us for all peoples to be judged. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 to 15. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books, according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every one of them according to their deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. So here again we have the judgment, this final judgment. God is looking at the deeds. We see at the end of verse 12. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. And at the end of verse 13. And they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. So God is judge. And here in Hosea, God is judge to the people of Israel in this specific sense, but generally this is who God is and this is how God will be. That it's not as if he's judging without evidence. Our sin, our deeds, our actions, that is the evidence for God. And that is what he's drawing on in Hosea. He's explaining to the people that when this judgment comes, it's not unjust, but it is very just. It is the definition of just in how he is going to judge. So continuing in verse 4, he explains the particulars of this evidence that he has. Because there is no faithfulness or kindness or knowledge of God in the land. So the case that God has against the inhabitants are these particular sins. No faith, no kindness, and no knowledge of God. They're all three grouped together. They're all three tied together, and they explain man and his depravity. Especially faithfulness. There's no faithfulness. This is what we've been, that's the main type of what Hosea has been talking about. They are not faithful to God. They are not true to God. They are harlots. So we can, let's turn to Hosea 2:13 to further corroborate what God is saying, in that the people have already shown that they are unfaithful. Hosea 2, verse 13. I will punish her for the days of the Baals, when she used to offer sacrifices to them and adorn herself with her earrings and jewelry and follow her lovers, so that she forgot me, declares the Lord. So the people Israel forgot God. This is their unfaithfulness that they have had in the land. It says there that she forgot me. Further, the sin is described as kindness, or there not being kindness. So on top of no faithfulness, there's no kindness or loyalty. There's no true love in the people. Whether that be with God, whether that be towards one another, that this is, again, the condition of the unbeliever. This is their sin, the evidence that God is using. There is no kindness. In Hosea chapter 1, verse 4, we see an example of how there is no kindness for the people, or in the people of Israel. Hosea 1, verse 4. And the Lord said to him, name him Jezreel for yet a little while, and I will punish the house of Jehu for the bloodshed of Jezreel, and I will put an end to the kingdom of the house of Israel. So in verse 4, as we have studied previously, but it's self-explanatory, that God is punishing the house of Jehu because of bloodshed. That is very unkind. To spill innocent blood, to crave evil things, to crave death. And that, again, he also uses that as evidence in this very verse. And I will put an end to the kingdom of the house of Israel. Again, building the case, there's evidence, and then the judgment because of these things. And then finally, in verse 1, the final sin is that there is no knowledge of God. No knowledge of God. And as we read the cross references in Hosea, we'll understand that he's not meaning merely just knowing that God exists, knowing that God is an all-powerful extraterrestrial being. That's not what he means by just a knowledge of God, but he means the knowledge of God through his written word. And without that, people sin. Without that, that's a sin worthy of death. This is sin worthy of destruction, because that's the case that God is building against the people on, based on these three pieces of evidence, there being no faithfulness, no kindness, and no knowledge of God, that it is in fact worthy of destruction. So in Hosea, he mentions this several times. We'll start with Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, just a few verses down. Hosea writes, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because you have rejected knowledge. I will also reject you from being my priest, since you have forgotten the law of your God. I also will forget your children. In verse 6, God is explaining, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. This is the same as he's saying there's no knowledge in the land. They're being destroyed because they do not know God, and they have rejected God and forgotten the law of your God, as it says at the latter half of the verse, since you have forgotten the law of your God. That this is the sin that leads to so many other sins. When we deny the power of Scripture and we deny that God himself is writing these words and we forget them. We don't hold them and we don't treasure them as we should. Continuing in Hosea, we'll turn to Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. Hosea 6, 6. For I delight in loyalty rather than sacrifice, and in the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. So he has a comparison here. Loyalty rather than sacrifice. He wants the fruit of the heart to be true to God, loyal to God. And how does he compare? He says the analogy again, and in the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. So he equates here in this verse that loyalty to God is to have the knowledge of God. Those are the same things. If we push God's word away from us, we're not being loyal to God. It's impossible, because without it guiding our lives, without it teaching us day in and day out, we won't be loyal to God. We will forget who God is. And lastly, Hosea 8, verse 12. He writes again on knowing the word of God. Hosea chapter 8, verse 12. Though I wrote for him 10,000 precepts of my law, they are regarded as a strange thing. So in this rebuke, the reason for the rebuke, or this is an insult to the people. This is an evidence against them to punish them, that the fact that God has written many words for the people, true words that are his law, but they're regarded as a strange thing. They don't know what the law of God is. And it leads to sin, and it will lead to the destruction. Here and for Israel immediately, but that's how it will be for us in the life to come, on that judgment that we had just talked about. That the sins listed here are no different than the sins of any man throughout history that has not been redeemed. That they do not love God, they despise God, and they don't know God's word. And so, don't dismiss this as being something to Israel, something against Israel, but it is to mankind in general. This is the nature of sinful man, to be this way towards God. And God will bring up the same evidence against every single one of them as well, that they in fact are unfaithful and unkind, and have no knowledge of the true God found in his word. Continuing to verse 2. Hosea 4, verse 2. There is swearing, deception, murder, stealing, and adultery. They employ violence so that bloodshed follows violence. As a result of these sins that the people are committing, their lack of faithfulness to God, their breaking of the covenant of God, and not knowing God's word. This is the fruit. This is how we know as believers, when we observe fruit, truly what's in the heart. Because this is the fruit that the people are showing. The swearing. Swearing taking the name of the Lord in vain. Not merely curse words or cuss words, but swearing falsely in the name of God. That is taking the name of the Lord in vain. We'll turn to Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, real quick to expound on taking the name of the Lord in vain. That this swearing falsely is a very serious sin. Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. That these false promises towards God are using the name of God without the true heart, that this is taking the name of the Lord your God in vain. And that's what a people who have some knowledge of God, such as the people of Israel, but they don't truly know God, that is what will happen. They'll mix God with an idol, or they'll mix God and build up a false God, trusting in their own wisdom or something like that. And then when they speak of God, it is taking the name of the Lord in vain, because it is a false God and it is an idol. Again, the fruit of the unbeliever in the sins of not knowing God. Deception. Deception or lying. Bearing false witness against your neighbor. Murder. Murder is specifically taking an innocent human life. Stealing. Taking something that's not yours. First coveting, and then taking. And adultery. What we've been talking throughout Hosea, the adultery, both spiritually and physically. The spiritual adultery will lead to physical adultery. And that this is the fruit of the sins of the people. And this is the same today. And we should not, again, dismiss that this is specific to Israel, or this is some sort of Old Testament doctrine, but that this is the way mankind is. That without the knowledge of God, we are unfaithful, we are unkind, and then we will inevitably fall into these various sins. We see it each and every day, particularly with those who are in authority, those who are in power, that they want to destroy, they want to kill, and they love bloodshed. Murdering babies, they promote these things. Open borders with kidnappings, they promote these things. This is what the people love, the godless people of the earth. In the last half of verse 2, God reiterates bloodshed. He reiterates the sin. He already mentioned murder, but he says it again. They employ violence so that bloodshed follows bloodshed. That this particular sin is especially heinous in God's eyes. He brings it out and he reemphasizes it here, to help explain to the people that this is, in fact, an egregious sin against God. And we know this is emphasized as well in 1 John 3:15. We'll turn to 1 John chapter 3, verse 15. That not only murder, but what the root of murder is, hate for one's brother. Now this is the fruit of the unbeliever. 1 John 3:15. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. It is without a doubt a sin that leads to death. And we should not be so flippant with murder, celebrating murder, looking at murder lightly, that it is so heinous and so nasty to God that he has chosen, out of this list of sins, to reemphasize that violence and bloodshed is a reason, is a fruit of unfaithfulness, and a reason to destroy the land of Israel. And finally, verse 3. Therefore, the land mourns, and everyone who lives in it languishes, along with the beasts of the field and the birds of the sky, and also the fish of the sea disappear. So therefore, verse 3, therefore, so he explains a cause. The previous sins are happening in verse 2, and what is the result? What happens because of sin in the land? It's a miserable place. The land mourns. The land itself is miserable. Everyone who lives in it languishes because of sin. And the animals, beasts of the field, birds of the sky, and fish of the sea, all the animals disappear. They are also suffering because of the sin. We know this is obvious in certain circumstances, like the flood. The flood destroyed the whole heavens, all the earth. All those animals died, all the people died, because of the sins of the people. God had a case against the people for their sins, and he punished them. They were found guilty, and God is righteous. He will not take away the righteous punishment for those who are unrepentant in their sin. This is also explained in Romans chapter 5. That where did death come from? Where the fact that very fact that death is on the earth in our lives, we see it every day, sickness is because of our sin. Romans chapter 5, verses 12 to 14. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who was a type of him who was to come. In verse 12, it explains that through one man's sin, death came into the world. Death through sin. And as we, it explains in verse 14, we haven't done exactly what Adam did, but we know we would be Adam in that situation. We would have sinned. It is in our nature to fall. And it's because of our sin through Adam that death is even in the world. So the animals, other people, it is sin that causes these things. And let's turn to Romans 8, verse 22. That also explains how creation suffers because of sin. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. We know the pains in childbirth was the punishment for Eve against sinning in the garden. We're going back to the very beginning. That through this sin of Adam and Eve, we suffer all of creation. Childbirth is painful for all created things. There is nothing that escapes this punishment, escapes sin. Everything dies and everything has pain. We all get sick. But let us not forget the fact that it is because of our sin. We can't complain to God. We can't be so boastful to think that this is unjust because it's our fault. So when we read the Word of God or read something like this as Israel is being condemned because of this evidence, that we should see this and be repentant. See this and fear God, knowing that God will judge us. That is an absolute truth. Inescapable if you read the Bible. In that he has a case against us. That the evidence of our sin is before God. It can't be hidden. It can't be something that we are able to talk our way out of. But it is only in repentance that we avoid such a fate. So let's be ones who fear God, to keep his commandments, to not be ones who, it is said, we don't know who God is. We lack the knowledge of God. But that we hold the knowledge of God in its rightful place as our focus, as the thing that drives us, the thing that guides us through life, lest we be as they are here in Hosea. Amen.